So if you hear it, faith will arise in your mind, and with it will come pervasive joy and stability. Wisdom will arise, and ignorance will cease. Hence, this is worth buying, even with your flesh. So it is by way of your hearing to the different discourses that you become aware as to what exactly to behave, or what kind of behavior you are to assume, and so forth. So if you are not actually trained in such things, or if you are not exposed to such teachings, then your mind would be directed externally to the material, world. And whereas if you really start even hearing a word about how to concentrate, how to place importance on your mind, mental transformation, so that should be actually a factor or an impetus to bring about transformation, the desire to transform your mind. So there then it will help you progress or intensify the sense of mindfulness and introspection to bring about transformation of your mind. Generating respect to the teaching and its teacher. Listening to the teaching with complete devotion and respect, without pride and without disparaging the teaching or the teacher, the way you generate respect for the teaching should be similar to the way you venerate the Buddha. The actual way to listen, cultivating the six discriminations. Come to understand yourself as a sick patient, the teacher as the physician, the teaching as medicine, the persistent practice as healing, the Tathagata as a sublime being, at which there the system of teaching be long sustained. Next, abandoning the three faults of an unsound vessel. Overcome the faults of an upturned, leaking, or contaminated vessel. Listen well and thoroughly retain what you hear in your mind. In short, listen with enthusiasm by recalling the advantages of listening to the teaching and the collection of the courses for actualizing the Buddha. So when it says thoroughly and retain what you hear in your mind, so it simply means that you are to hold on to the teachings the Buddha, the teachings your teacher commands upon you. You're not supposed to forget those advices or teachings. And then when it says listen well, it exhorts you to listen to the discourses with proper motivation. Next, the process of explaining the Dharma, contemplating the benefits of explaining the Dharma. It says, abandon deluded thoughts such as those concerned with wealth and fame. Abandon giving wrong interpretations and teach in accordance with the sutras. So here, if you don't listen to or if you don't teach according to the ways as set forth in the teachings, if you don't do that, then it will only help you accumulate negative actions, negativities or negative karmas. Then next it says, keep in mind the immeasurable benefits taught in the invoking the Special Attitude Sutra and the question of Rudra Sutra. So, and the next, generating respect for the teacher and the teaching. When teaching the mother of the conqueror, the teacher prepared his own seed. Dharma is within even the Buddha's range of respect. Therefore, generate respect for the Dharma and the teacher by remembering the qualities and kindness. Next, the motivation and method by which you should explain the teaching, the actual thought. Do away with stinginess towards teaching and self-aggrandizement. Give up wherein is Truth's teaching and declaring others false. Give up procrastination and jealousy and meditate on love for the followers. Being influenced by five recollections, motivations, and properly cultivating them are the favorable facilities, the practice. Next, after appropriate preparatory acts of cleanliness, such as bathing, sit on the throne and recite the profound mantra with a clear expression and knowledge of the examples and their meanings. Teach the Dharma with abundant quotations and reasons, distinguishing whom you should or should not teach. So here, in terms of giving a discourse to the disciples, it should be always the case that the students should request the teacher for a discourse. And without someone making the request, it is wrong on the part of the teacher to give the discourse or the teachings. And whereas, if there is someone who is highly inclined or enthusiastic, so that would be a very exceptional case, where even without the disciple making the request, the teacher can start giving teachings to this appropriate student. The conduct of listening should be in accordance with the Vinaya. The teaching should be given when requested, but if you find an appropriate person, giving teaching is said to be permitted even when not requested. Next, the process of conclusion in general. Then dedicate the virtue of teaching and listening to complete enlightenment. Thus, as it is taught, even one session of teaching and listening will have immeasurable benefits. This is the vital point by which teaching and listening are set on the right track. So, cherish this supreme and sublime preliminary practice. So when somebody who is actually new to a particular concept, so there's that you are a beginner, you really need to depend on someone who is expertise on this topic. Just like someone who is interested to learn some mundane things. So again, that kind of skill, even in the mundane thing, for that you need to depend on expert person. So it's the case with the spirituality. So first, so this very part, so profound and subtle. In order for you to embrace that, you really need to seek the guidance of someone who has gained expertise in this topic on the spirituality or the philosophical aspects of the teachings. Next, the stages by which the student is led through the actual instruction, the process of relying on the spiritual teacher as the root of the path, an elaborate explanation of process of generating conviction, qualifications of spiritual teacher, on whom you should rely. As for the practice of the actual instruction, even one single positive quality within the mental stream of a student is dependent upon pleasing the sublime spiritual teacher. Therefore, how you rely on him in the beginning is crucial. So, as rightly said by Lama Tsongkhapa in his great exposition of the stages of the path of enlightenment, he said that someone who is not fully tamed or pacified himself, how can he possibly lead a student to the state of enlightenment? So this, I find, a very powerful statement. So when Lama Tsongkhapa, in his great exposition of the text, so in some parts, he refers mainly on the Asanga's literatures. So there we see that he then tried to make the distinction between the selflessness of person and the selflessness of phenomena. As for the practice of the actual instruction, even one single positive quality within the mental stream of a student is dependent upon pleasing the sublime spiritual teacher. Therefore, how you rely on him at the beginning is crucial. He who is one whose horse like mind is tamed by training and ethical discipline, whose meditative stabilization is made serviceable by the robes of mindfulness and introspection, whose wisdom eye has seen the profound suchness, the ultimate reality, who has listened to the teachings extensively and has more good qualities than his students, who has a realization of suchness or emptiness, which includes intellectual understanding based merely on quotations and logic, who is accomplished in teaching because he is skilled and guided by stages, who is the embodiment of compassion because he teaches out of a compassionate motivation, who sustains a joyful effort and does not tire of teaching. So, the teacher who is supposed to be giving discourses to his disciples, it is very important on the part of the teacher to reflect on whether or not these qualities are intact with himself. If you have those qualities as prescribed, it is well and good. If not, you have to really try to get these qualities in order for you to be qualified to give teachings. The five principal qualities are the three trainings, realization of suchness and compassion. But as they are difficult to find because of the degeneration of time, cherish those who of the two faults and qualities possesses greater qualities. These are the qualifications that should be fulfilled and the student should rely on them. Next, qualifications of the student that relies upon the spiritual teacher. He should be impartial. So if you think that you want to receive a teaching from a student, from a teacher, so there, the student from his side as well, his or his side, it is important that he or she should be intact with the given prescriptions or the qualifications. He should be impartial, exhibiting intense aspiration, possessed by intelligence, distinguishing the path from what is not the path, and mentally attentive while listening to the Dharma. These are the qualities to be fulfilled by the student. So here we see that it is very important on the part of the student to have a mentality, unbiased sense of mentality. So if you have a sense of biasness, so there you won't be the proper vessel to receive the teaching, because you won't be able to incorporate or understand what is being taught, which is something that you're not inclined to. So here we see that on the part of the student, it is very important to employ the power of the wisdom. So the power of wisdom is something very crucial here. So just by having a blind faith in the teachings, saying, oh, I have tremendous faith in the teachings, that alone is not just sufficient. So especially in terms of the Buddhist teachings, the teachings of the Buddha, it is always advised that you should examine the very teachings of the Buddha, whether or not that is to be accepted literally, and so forth. And that is further encouraged by Nagarjuna, so who said that if there is the reasonings and the logics which supports the very teaching of the Buddha, that should be taken as definitive teachings. And whereas, if there is something which goes against the reasonings or the logics, it should not be taken as definitive, but rather as interpretable. So, in order for the student to be able to do that, he or she must have a tremendous sense of intelligence and wisdom. And on top of having the quality of the unbiasedness and intelligence, he should have a sense of desire for practice. So without this aspiration for practice, just by having intellectual acquisition would be useless.